from the record of Lin Chi. If you want to be no different from the Buddha, our teacher, do not run after things outside of you. Every movement of your mind which is able to shine out the light of purity is the Dharmakaya body of the Buddha, who is right here in your home. The light of non-discrimination which arises in one moment of recollection is the glorious Sambhogakaya body of the Buddha, right here in your home. The light of non-discrimination which arises from every moment of recollection is the Nirmanakaya body of the Buddha, which is right in your home. These three bodies are not different from you who are standing in front of me listening to the Dharma. This wonderful function can only be possible when you do not direct your energy to chasing after something outside yourself. Deep into our training period, our coming and going, Sesshin. Such a thing to do, to dedicate ourselves, to give ourselves, to entrust ourselves. Entrust ourselves to our life, day after day, moment after moment. And I was appreciating our lovely line of cushions and chant books down the center of the Zendo. I recall that in the Passover Seder, you leave one chair for Elijah, so we're leaving six zabutan for the wandering sitters, the wandering arhats that have been wandering since ancient times. And not only do we sit with Linji, but we sit with all the other meditators, all the other Zen practitioners, all the other Buddhists, all the other human beings who at this moment are in prayer or meditation, are in some way turning toward this great mystery. And all of those that came before us, and all of those who will come after us. It is our great privilege to be here. Causes and conditions in our lives have led us here. We can all look back and make up some story about how we came to be here, but we really don't know. But here we are in this beautiful meditation hall and in this temple that has become so resonant over these past 6 years. So many chants, so many bells, so many tears, so many joys here, and somehow these places of meditation, these places of worship begin to absorb the spirit, soaking into our feet, soaking into the floor, to the walls, the windows. So this temple building this building that has had many lives. Just a family home, quite a grand family home at one point, and at one point it was a rest home for African Americans. Purportedly one of the first in the country. And now here we are trying to find rest, trying to find our home, inviting Linji, listening to Linji. And this short passage we read this evening and the passage we've been reading at the beginning of our afternoon zazen is a small portion of the whole record of Linji. I hope it's representative, but I think we can begin to hear the points he makes over and over. As Bob was pointing out the other day, he keeps saying, this mountain monk, or in my opinion, in my experience, and constantly here and in the rest of this collection, emphasizing the authority of the moment, the authority of experience. And in the history of Buddhism, this was a radical departure from the scholasticism, from the studying of sutras. And like every piece of writing, he is writing in a context that we only partly know. But part of the context was to establish the basic tenets of this Chan school. And written in the 12th century, looking back to the 8th and 9th century to find the roots, to find the glowing embers of this practice. And to emphasize again and again that all of the teachings of Buddha are present here in your own house, in your own body. And so we present these teachings not as something to be studied outside yourself, but rather as pointers to your own experience. These teachings are the creation of human beings just like you and me who have looked deeply into the matter, and they are reporting out. They have been down in the mine doing the pick and shovel work and have come out with these nuggets. And so one of the traditional teachings that he's referring to here are the three bodies of Buddha. Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirmanakaya. The Dharmakaya is the body of the Absolute, or the source world, we might say, shunyata, emptiness. The emptiness that is pure potential. We might say the Tao, the source of everything. We might say God in one manifestation. But the Dharmakaya cannot actually be spoken of because it has no qualities. It is everything all together. This vast Dharmakaya is the deep silence, the stillness that we begin to encounter. These bodies, while they're different, named differently, we say in some ways they are all present. So this Dharmakaya body is the source world. And also, we might even say that the Dharmakaya is even the intention to stop, the intention to slow down and do nothing. Finally, you can rest. The Dharmakaya is the source world that that everything comes from and everything returns to, the great mystery. So this is Dharmakaya. And Sambhogakaya is the sometimes called the bliss body or the appreciation body, the dream body. And that out of the Nirmanakaya, out of the silence, out of the absorption, you see the glint of the light on the floor. An old memory comes flitting through your mind. You hear the sound of the cars, the pain in your knee. The Sambhogakaya is the arising and the appreciating of life in the form of. This is the great arising out of nowhere. And we appreciate the smell of the flower, appreciate the coldness of the air when we step outside. Sambhogakaya, the appreciation body. And then the Nirmanakaya is the sometimes called the transformation body or the activity, the action body. For me, I think it's one of the aspects of our Zen way that is often overlooked or misunderstood. I think this, the Dharmakaya and the Sambhogakaya, the deep silence, this formless world, and the world of appearance are talked about a lot, but the Nirmanakaya is the activity body. This is it, living our practice. This is the getting up off the cushion and doing what needs to be done. In the five remembrances, we say our deeds are our only companions. I am the beneficiary of my deeds. So wonderful to sit in silence and appreciation. And as we say over and over, the world is on fire. And we are called to act in the world. Called to act in the world not out of some moral obligation, although we might say that we all have that, being people of some privilege. But the Nirmanakaya body is the activity that wells out of our heart when we see that we are not separate. That the suffering of the world is not something that is outside of us and different from us. And so our desire to help, to live our love, comes naturally and not as burden or responsibility, but rather of expression of what is most important. So this is the action body. And these bodies, of course, Linshi is very clear to remind us, are here. We can get lost in thinking about them, but they are manifesting form and emptiness right in this moment. And as we practice, we may notice being in one of these bodies more than another. We may even intend to enter into the stillness, into the silence, this great vast silence that is so big it contains all of the sounds of the world. And so our practice can have this flavor of Dharmakaya. Our practice can also be richer in the Sambhogakaya, in the appreciation, in the noticing, the arising, appreciating the foot on the floor, appreciating the sound of the bell as Steve strikes it with such great love and determination. Appreciating each breath. Such an astonishing miracle we are in the middle of, and yet we go running after words and phrases. We go chasing after comfort and miss this precious and fleeting life. So some Sambhogakaya practice is appreciating everything that comes up. Not being carried away by it, not having to run chasing after it, but appreciating moment after moment. Something appears. Some sensation, some image, some sound, some taste, some smell, these six senses that Lin Shi says are the marks of the Buddha. Appreciating this arising, this self meeting self in the form of the smell of the kitchen when we walk by at 5:20 and something good is cooking once more, something tasty having appeared magically in the kitchen. So this is Sambhogakaya practice. And Nirmanakaya practice is the practice of embodying your life. Each one of us as we sit is preaching the Dharma. Each one of us as we sit is embodying ourself. From the Nirmanakaya perspective, we fully give ourselves to this moment, giving our heart, giving our love, being who we are. So the Nirmanakaya aspect of practice, sitting upright in this dignified posture, shoulders slightly back, neck long, and manifesting your love without moving or saying a word. So we have this flavor of enacting our life. So these three we can notice and not separate in some ways, but maybe just a pointer into different ways of knowing, ways of encountering this Dharma that, as Lin Shi reminds us, has no fixed form, sometimes appearing in the silence and stillness. Sometimes appearing in the blossoming of sensation and thought and sense, and sometimes appearing, manifesting as the activity of walking, just eating, just being ourself, just cleaning the toilet. We are invited in each of these bodies, which are our body, our home, to trust the arising and to trust the passing away. This is our wonderful life. Thank you. So I invite you to sit comfortably. And open the floor for objections, insights, appreciations, questions. I know. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that was an unintended.
No. I intend to lay pots of glue for you to fall in. Part of our job here. But so important to point that out so we can appreciate it and then notice. Mm. It's just one more thing for another toy for the mind,
right? Yeah. And you know, there's sort of like there's undifferentiated reality, and one of the things that Buddhism does is it categorizes things for us. So there's the three bodies of the Buddha, and there's the Four Noble Truths, and there's the this, the that, the other thing, all the numbers. There's some book that actually lists all the numbers, the one, right, and then the two, the
sutra,
the three, and then the four, because this is the way that Indians who didn't write things down, you know, in ancient times, memorized stuff by coming up with numbers of things. And so there is something helpful. It's sort of like the science of this practice, you know, because it's just this. But really it manifests as different things too. So I'd like that you call them toys, because we have to treat them as toys. If we take them too seriously, then you know they are pots of glue. So to use them and then throw them away, I think is important. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks. Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find the terms to be helpful. Because I think sometimes during interviews I'll be describing something and you know, I just remember once David saying, oh yeah, that's Nirmanakaya. Can I have a name for you? And that was so sweet because it kind of was a connection. Oh, this is something that I don't just experience.
Yeah. And I think that's where they can be helpful when they can validate our own experience rather than chasing after them. But, oh yeah, I know that place of just, you know, riding the bike.
Yeah. So that was wonderful. And I really enjoyed the line of the light of non-discrimination. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. And in another translation, it's more clear that this sounds like it says, in every moment of your mind, which is able to shine out the light of purity, is Dharmakaya, Well, I read that and think, well, my mind isn't very able to shine out that. But another translation said, this is what the mind does. The mind just shines out this light of purity, of non-discrimination. And another translation says non-distinction. Yeah, that this is what the mind does. This is the functioning of the mind.
I love the differentiation here. When we read it tonight, there was one of these aha moments for me, what Linji's doing. So he's saying it's all the same. You know, he's kind of not wanting us to think it's different. And then here's how it's different. You know, so the Dharmakaya is just the light of purity. The Sambhogakaya is one moment of recollection. Right? One moment of, oh, because in Dharmakaya there's no recollection. There's no, oh right, I'm in thusness, emptiness. Oh wait a minute, you know that I'm saying this. That means I'm not in it anymore. You can't actually talk about it, as you said. So one moment of recollection, and you're in the Sambhogakaya, and then every moment of recollection is the Nirmanakaya. Yeah. Like this is our life in a way. And I remember when I was training to be a teacher, one of the things that I was told was that people have awakenings in these different bodies, and it's important to be able to identify where somebody's awakening is and then move them to the other two bodies, you know, just really affirm and then go, yeah, and how about this? Because there are these styles. They're like, and I think all of us gravitate. Like, I'm a real Sambhogakaya junkie. The bliss body is me. I just love the bliss body, and I had to really work hard to embody the Nirmanakaya. Just really was. I did a lot of training in that with James Fort. Just really, really, you know, it was important for me. And the Dharmakaya came easily, but couldn't be remarked upon. So they're constantly flowing in and out of each other. And there are some teachings that. Like this teaching of Linji, that these aren't special states we get into, but they're always present. Mm. But we keep, you know, they're like different views, different places to stand. And when we're standing in the Dharmakaya, it's just nothing.
We're going to give people little passports and we'll check off. Well, I got my Dharmakaya checked off, but I got a... but I think that there is just this natural way, wisdom that each of us have that may be more attuned with, you know, oh yeah, I'm just an action person, I understand that, but this being still, whew, I have to work hard. Or for other people, man, stillness is such a joy, but why do I have to get up and wash the dishes, you know? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm a little confused about what these terms are describing. They're describing, say, reality as it's experienced by humans when they're not deluded?
Yes.
That's pretty good. That's
it.
Yeah.
Although,
and I would say aspects of reality that are happening, as Melissa was saying, it's not like you have to work to make this happen, but that in some way this great, the Tao, the source world, is sustaining all of us, everything coming and going from this. But I think you're right about that when we are not lost in delusion, we can appreciate these different aspects of the jewel. It's like turning the jewel. Same jewel. Oh, but this, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. And what Melissa was saying earlier, you know, pointing out, I noticed this too for the first time about the every moment, the one moment, you know, that the every moment that is the Dharmakaya, that the moment that we go to appreciate it, it's something different, you know, that it is, when we take it into memory and experience, you know, when we start reflecting on it, that's, so just you know, what you were saying, Jason, that it's, you talked about it, like experiencing it without delusion, right? So just to say that this, when you know that you're experiencing it, it's, it changes it.
Yeah. And I just want to throw in some more glue just to mess everybody up, because what you said, yes. And delusion arises in the three bodies a little differently also. Mm-hmm. So in the Dharmakaya body, delusion arises as just nothing. I mean, it's uninflected. It's just not a problem. And in the Sambhogakaya, it's like, oh, we get to really see delusion, you know, and kind of taste it. It's yummy. And in the Nirmanakaya, yeah, yummy delusion. Because everything is yummy in the Sambhogakaya. And in the Nirmanakaya, it's like the activity of delusion. Like, I am thinking these thoughts. I am getting myself tied up in knots. You know, we can't even... Delusion also is part of the awakened heart. But you're speaking of delusion in a very particular way, so I probably shouldn't have said anything. So just rewind the tape.
and Lin-Chi does say, these three bodies are not different from you who are standing in front of me.
Thank you.
So I think so important to hear the potential for thinking this is something else, mm-hmm. but he's reminding us this is something we know, something that this great functioning it is us.
I'm glad that little piece came up about the realization and the delusion, sort of, that it is simultaneous, can be simultaneous, and it's strange because I was kind of thinking, it's hard to not think about this because we're reading it so much, and it's mixing in with some of the other things, and interviews, and this isn't what I was thinking today, but I have this weird, I think about a lot of things in terms of birth. I have a lot of midwife friends, I've had three babies, you know, and how it doesn't just happen. And also, the Velveteen Rabbit, I don't know who knows about the Velveteen Rabbit, but like when I think about the Velveteen Rabbit, like being thrown onto the heap, and then all of a sudden, like seeing the other rabbits, and still being in the stuffed body, I love that there's these references to the home of our body so much. Mm-hmm. It's so comforting to me because that's what I'm in. You know? Yeah. I mean, it sounds so obvious, but it just keeps being like that. Yeah. I wake up. And it's still, you know, and I used to always think that there's always something wrong. Why can't I this? Why can't I that? Why isn't this? And I still do, you know, to varying degrees depending. But these different bodies are like these weird little, like, solid yet ephemeral bookmarks of any moment. Like, they vary. And then in different moment, they vary again. And it's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's what it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to understand it all right now. Because I still have my body. Right. The body. It's still going to be offering constantly these, mm-hmm. you know, mostly because you guys are here. For me. And I just want to say that too. Like, everyone just still being here. I'm going off and don't think I'm going off having a great old time, because come here, it's so much better. So, it's just so amazing. Everyone keeps being here. All cars. Parking lot.
Well, Joanne, it is a very body-centered practice. And Lin-Chi, he keeps talking about the six senses, you know, that are the body. You know, including thinking, but tasting, seeing, touching. So wonderful that we don't have to understand it. But that this is, you know, in your house, in your body, right here. We can rely on that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
So this isn't exactly the paragraph that you're talking about, but when we were reading, I was really struck by this line that says, because perceptions are changing, the form of the true nature changes. And that's, it's kind of once again bringing forward the thing about Zen that's just so activating to me, that your true nature isn't just this Dharmakaya.
Right.
You know, that the true nature includes delusion.
Yeah.
And it's kind of radical to say, you know, that because the perceptions are changing, the form of the true nature changes, instead of like that the true nature is covered up or ruined or
right.
walked away from it or what of all the things that I can come up with that I thought I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually it is manifesting just in a different way, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I like that one line very much.
And that's a great referent to actually the talk, because the form of the true nature keeps changing. So sometimes it's manifesting as Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, Nirmanakaya, and sometimes it's delusion, sometimes it's terrible emotions, anger, sadness, fear. Sometimes it's joy, but it, you can't nail it down, and that's a relief. And so there isn't this one thing that gets nailed down ever. The
yet,
form of true nature keeps changing.
Yet there is this that he is telling us to try to. I mean, he is like telling us how distracted we become by all this other manifesting that we're doing. So. You know, once again, I tend to get confused by that because on the one hand, it's always present, but on the other hand, our delusion comes from getting noticing that.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's two sides of the same thing, right? On the one hand, on the other hand, the form keeps changing. Even in our understanding of it.
So, in practice, I think I recall this question I had for you about the inner world and the outer world and where to focus, and where you were saying to me, well, then and then. And but that isn't really what practice is telling us, is it? Because isn't it telling us here that we need to not be distracted? And it seems like that shifting is a distraction.
So we're not going to answer this. but to be the perplexity, right? There's really something to investigate here. And I really appreciate you coming forward and naming it, and it's not, there are not enough words to clarify this. But I think it's where we come back to the body and come back to not taking somebody else's word for it, you know, and even ours, but to, there's something to investigate. What is your experience? What is our experience? And as you talk, I'm like, well, shit, I better get back to practice here to figure this out. But I think all of us have our questions, and there's some way we get caught in the words. So I would suggest that these words are hooking you in some way, and that if you actually go to your experience, it may not be as complicated as it sounds. So
I would guarantee that.
Probably nothing could be as complicated.
On that note, let's take a few more breaths and we'll do our walking meditation.